see on the water's edge was a man who met the Savior, so the gospel says. Waiting there he was with the leper and the lame, for an angel it was told down from heaven came.
Folks came from all around, near and from far,
just to sit here at the house of mercy, waiting for the waters to stir. Just to sit here at the house of mercy, waiting for the waters to stir.
What is saving my life now is becoming more fully human, trusting that there's no way to God apart from real life in the real world. Welcome, everyone, to the Sunday after Easter, also known as the least attended Sunday of the church year. It's known, I've learned today, as a hangover Sunday as well, also known as True Believer Sunday. If you're here, there, it's a true believer. Oh, yeah, you're. Well, don't clap yet, because it's also known as the Super Sinner Sunday, the ones that know they can't afford to miss even one week. So whichever one of those applies to you, I'm glad that you're here and that you, Let's say hello to the hardest working band in the church band business. It's that grand old Grievous Angel Band.
We are singing for the saved, and we are dancing for the damned. We are the
Don't you just love them, folks? Don't you love them? Yeah. I suppose you guys end up playing a lot around the Easter time as well, right? Other churches, other places?
Yeah. It's we get invited for Terrible Sinner Sunday more often.
Yeah, more often. Okay, good. Well done. And we look forward to hearing from you during the guest artist spot, I think, today as well. Hey, we have a guest announcer here. You know her?
Nancy? I don't know. I'm up here, and I have to wonder, is this Sunday less attended than 2 weeks ago when we canceled church due to a snowstorm? I wasn't here.
I'm going to handle the jokes around attendance. Okay.
Well, I was just thinking about it, because what do you do when there is a snowstorm? We had planned to do some baking with the youngster program that day.
There you go.
Trying out our communion bread. We have a recipe that's gluten-free, dairy-free, sunflower-free. Not sure about artificial dyes and colors. We're trying to work those in, more youngster friendly. But we're going to be baking that during the service today. Youngsters and anyone else interested in helping supervise youngsters in the vicinity of a 400-degree oven, welcome to join us during the youngster parade. The other thing that I like to do when it's snowing is to make some plans for summer.
Yes, that's good.
So we have plans for a group camping event coming up all the way out in July, July 19th to the 21st.
So we can all begin to look forward to that, yeah.
Yeah, head out to Afton Group Campsite. It's usually a pretty good time.
Yeah, not too far away.
Bikeable if you're into that thing.
Very close for some, yeah.
But it's on the House of Mercy website. We'll make announcements intermittently here.
And this is just like sort of like save the date kind of an announcement?
Yeah.
Or is there any action that's needed? Or just as a general awareness?
You know, I'm probably going to start packing, but that's me.
All right. Well, that'll be a good time. It always is. Just so you know, when for communion, we will just be using the gluten-free bread, one loaf. Everybody, you know, can then take the from the same loaf. Unfortunately, we've had to go to instead of juice, switch out for a full peanut whiskey. So if you do have any of those. Just grape juice. So all people, we can all drink from the same cup and use the same thing. Okay,
this is the House of Mercy, and welcome to it.
Right.
Join me in the prayer of invocation. The stone is rolled away, the grave is empty, death has been taken up and made non-toxic. Give us the faith in that possibility, that we might cultivate hope, practice love, and be open to joy. Moved by your radical mercy, we proclaim that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the sign of peace with one another.
Since this is the Easter season, while looking for some songs for the guest artist spot, I was confronted with the reality that most of my songs are more Lenten season type of things, and Reverend Russell asked if we get asked to play at Easter, and it's like, no, I actually get asked to play everywhere on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, so that's like my repertoire. So I had to dig deep into some older songs of mine. I thought I should find some songs that might sing of unexpected or might have messages of unexpected hope, like your savior, hero, teacher, friend, who you watched be killed, suddenly alive, and in your midst. So these are a couple older songs of mine.
Not coming down, but sleep, please.
baby, just sleep. You see, the angels are guarding the weak. Our Father is blessing the meek. And the sun has come down with a glorious sound to level both valley and peak. So sleep, please, baby, just sleep. I know that you're tired on your feet, and I know that you're bound. I'm not coming down. But sleep, please, baby, just sleep. Be quiet now, lover, don't speak. In my weakness, your love is complete. We've both been running around while the sky all fell down, unbroken and safe at our feet. So sleep, please, baby, just sleep. I know that you're tired on your feet, and I know that you're bound. Not coming down, but sleep, please, baby, just sleep. Sleep, please, baby, just sleep. Sleep, please, baby. Saved the more upbeat one for second so that the youngsters weren't asleep in advance of the parade. Oh, sister, please don't break tonight. Look, hold on with me till the bright safe sun begins to burn and to shine. Oh, sister, trust you will be fine. You've set a stake, now don't turn back to the familiar, well-known black. No lie shall ever set you free. Oh, sister, please have faith, you'll see. Soon we will leave Los Angeles, and we will star before we kiss the enemy's hand ever again for the right to feel warmth in the cold, cold night. To feel warmth in the cold, cold night. And in the mirror, now the light was born the day you chose to fight. Though sure you have no hope nor a friend, oh sister, you'll be home again. Soon we will.
Angeles, and we will starve before we kiss. The enemy's hand ever again for the right to feel warmth in the cold, cold night. To feel warmth in the cold, cold night.
Won't you please join me now in the prayer of invocation? I'll end each prayer with, God, in your mercy, and I invite you to respond. Hear our prayer. God of mercy, remind us that all things that have come into this world have come through you, that you saw it all and proclaimed that it was good. Remind us of the beauty in the world and the beauty there is in every living being, from the star-nosed mole to the fractal electric charge of the top and bottom quarks. Help us to look for that beauty in strangers and enemies, and to remember it in our children and husbands and wives and brothers and sisters. God, in your mercy. God of mercy, it's a big universe, a big world. It's easy to feel lost on so many levels about so many things. Remind us of your presence and the meaning that comes from our desire to live out your mercy in our lives. God, in your mercy. God of mercy, we have not loved you with all that we are. We've hurt people in our lives by the mistakes that we've made, by the things that we have done and left undone. We ask for your forgiveness and are confident that you judge us with your grace. God, in your mercy. God of mercy, we pray for all those people in our lives who are in need of healing, spiritual, physical, or emotional. We pray for all the single parents. We pray for all those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are dying, the prisoners, and those who've been imprisoned by addiction. We know that you will gather all these prayers and all these people into your arms and give them your peace and your presence and your healing. God, in your mercy. Meet us now in this extended time of silence. Amen.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson. Tempest is done. robbing the grave of its gold. Come, then, O come, glad fruition. Come to my sad, weary heart. Come, O thou blessed hope of glory. Never, O never depart.
For this evening is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 56 through 69. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who is the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you, that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" The Word of God.
It's hard. It's hard, hard, hard. I mean, you know, to live among the swirl in the wind and the winding words and the unraveling truths, it used to be so easy. There was going to be a future. You know, there's going to be a future where scientists and engineers and factors, those folks that fact things, you know, it used to be there was going to be a future where those factors were going to find out all the facts we needed. All the facts that, you know, we needed to make enough energy without destroying the planet, without heating up the earth and putting every living thing on a slow roast. You know, all the facts that we needed to keep the white rhinos from going extinct, and all the facts we needed to fight Alzheimer's and cure cancer and regrow organs and rebuild hearts and kidneys and livers and lungs. Those factors, we're going to find out all the facts we needed to guarantee healthy baby weights, nutrition, pre- and postnatal comfort, care and concern. And every kid everywhere, you know, they were all going to get the same chance. Education, nurture, opportunities to try and to, you know, all the facts. They were going to get all the facts that we needed to free people from addiction and heal people from generational deficits and the tools to work together to resolve whatever conflicts might arise. You know, all the facts that we need so everyone had enough to eat, enough to eat, enough to eat. There was always going to be a future, right? Where the folks would do the research and make the calculations and discover the science, you know, find the hard scientific facts that would work it all out. But no more. The future, that future, is gone. It's missed. We squandered it. We overshot it, you know. We misunderstood it. Now it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. See, look, you see, we all thought that the problem was the facts, you know, the hard facts. We thought the problem with cancer and global warming and war and malnutrition and disease were, you know, the problems were with the facts. We didn't know how to cure cancer, global warming, or end disease. We were getting close. We knew it was possible. But there were still some things we had to figure out. There were still some facts we needed to know. And just as the factors figured out those facts, they would take them and they would drop them into some equation and then start curing and cooling and repairing and feeding and peacemaking. But no! We found the facts. They did. They found the facts. They know. The scientists and the engineers and the economists and the hydrologists and the social scientists and the climatologists, they found the facts. And like all other facts the fact finders found, they threw them in that big pile, in that big pit. And they're all there. They're all there, and there are so many. And it doesn't matter. We knew what to do about global warming 50 years ago. We had all the facts. We knew we better start taking steps to reverse global warming 30 years ago. We had all the facts. We knew we better start, you know, taking steps to reverse global warming 20 years ago. And we knew that it was going to be too late to completely reverse global warming. But we could still slow its effects considerably. 10 years ago, we knew if we didn't do something immediately, it was going to be too late, and the planet would eventually reach temperatures that could no longer sustain life. It was inevitable. But we didn't do anything, did we? We knew what to do. We had the facts, but they didn't matter. It's a machine. The future is a machine that runs on greed and is immune to truth and knowledge. I want you to understand that. It's a machine. The future is a machine that runs on greed and is immune to truth and to knowledge. And that is why, more than ever, what we need now is... Hold on, I said. Is this a movie you're telling me about? She stopped her slow advance toward me. I mean, it's not that she was consciously backing me up against the dessert table, but she was maybe compelled, no, I would say propelled by her passion or obsession, her desire to communicate her revolutionary knowledge, I guess you'd call it. Although she was involuntarily moving closer to penetrate me with this revelation. Yes, I know, for her is these mind-blowing revelations, she had this insight, but, you know, honestly, I hadn't really been paying attention while she was talking. I mean, I was moving my tongue around the inside of my mouth, trying to discern if the dip I was eating had cumin in it, or was it something, I don't know, on the cracker I was tasting? She looked me in the eye for the first time. A movie? She asked, as if she'd just come to. I don't know if she was paying that much attention to me either, really. She was just lost in her own rant. I mean, it doesn't seem kind to call it a rant, but it sure was a rant. But I tried to re-engage her, you know? I said, okay. So it's not a movie. I tried the dip with a different cracker. A movie? Are you joking? This is really like real. Okay, all right.
So we thought we had the facts that would solve every problem in the future, and then the future came, and we found all the facts, but nobody cared, and nobody used them to solve the world's problem. Yes, 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 yes! She lifted her hands in this gesture of praise and then brought them down and held my face between her hands. I am thinking, it seems strange, but sometimes chili powder can taste like cumin. She released my face and looked at me like it was my turn to talk. Why didn't anyone care or use the facts to solve the world's problems? Because there's not enough blood in them. In the problems, there's not enough blood in the problems. No, no, the people, not enough blood in the people. You can't bite into them and feel the warm flesh in your throat as you swallow it. You know, we need to actually eat Jesus's flesh and drink his blood. Drink the blood, actually. I took a sip of my sangria. I get it. The scripture, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them, incarnation ingestion, right? Oh, I forgot that this is where this whole thing started, her rant with this. You know, you would not believe, seriously, how many impromptu sermons from complete strangers that ministers hear. You know, I mean, I meet somebody at a dinner party or on an airplane or like this woman at the dessert table at a national night out block party, you know, and they find out you're a minister. And at first they start asking you a few questions, and then they say something like, you know what I've always wondered about? And then they launch into a sermon. Jesus won't let the people off the hook. Her voice raising half an octave like a Seinfeld impersonation. They seem willing to treat it like a metaphor, but he is insisting that they really eat his flesh and drink his blood. To what end? I asked, looking for a rhetorical pivot so I could move to my usual, thank you for sharing that with me. I'll be thinking about that for a while. It was nice talking to you, but she wasn't letting me do it. She wouldn't let me. To what end? People need something real to touch, to taste, ingest, something real. Everyone thought facts were real. The truth was truth, that the future was in the future, but we know it is now. This is it. This is what we have. What do we have? I asked, half to her and half to the dessert table. The flesh and blood of God. Well, that does sound impressive when you say it like that. But even in the verse from John's gospel, it says, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this teaching is difficult and, you know, who can accept it? Because of this, many of the disciples, they turned back and they no longer follow Jesus, you know? It's a hard teaching, I said. These are hard times, she said. Eat the flesh and drink the blood of God? Our only hope. Hope? I asked. Hard hope. Hard hope. Hard hope. Hard science, hard facts didn't work. We need hard hope. I'm not into the anti-intellectual, anti-reason creation science thing. I mean, who's saying that? She threw her hands in the air, you know? She began chopping it down. We have the facts. We have the science. We just don't have the love to use them. Love? Hard love. Oh, hard hope breeds hard love. You bring whatever it takes to the table, whatever makes you hopeless, helpless, scared, alone, you bring it to the table and you eat. Eat the flesh and drink the blood of God.
ingest the incarnation of God, and it will transform you, really. It will hit you like a wheatgrass shot or whiskey shot or joy. Joy, I asked. Hard joy? Hope and love and joy? Yes, she says, grabbing both my hands in hers and jumping sort of up and down a little bit on the balls of her feet. Yes! Couldn't help but smile. You feel it, don't you? She asked, head nodding. I kind of do, I said, because I kind of did, kind of nodding. Eat the flesh, drink the blood. Yeah? Is it like magic? She stepped back and dropped my hands. Magic? What kind of minister are you? Not a very good one, I admitted. Magic? Do you believe in magic? In a young girl's heart, maybe? What? Nothing, I said. Eat the flesh, drink the blood. It's not magic, it's the ground of being. It's the origin of the universe. It's peace and love, and it's the radical mercy of God melting in your mouth and filling you with hard hope. Hard hope. Yes, she said. Hard hope. Eat it. And then what? I could see my family over her shoulder making the, like, what's going on, let's go sign. But I was sort of into this now, you know? And then what? When you eat the hard hope? I said that really wanted an answer. When you eat the hard hope, then what about the world and global warming and disease and hate and racism and misogyny and all that stuff that the hard facts didn't fix? You eat that hard hope, and you pass it around, she said. Everyone takes a bite of God, and then we all do something. Do something. Like, what? Hard hope, hard love, hard joy. I gave my family a kind of like a just a minute kind of look thing, you know, because I was starting to realize something. One was caraway seed, not cumin. And two, that hope can be hard. Hope can be hard. Love can be hard. And joy can be hard. They can be hard, hard won, hard to come by, hard to trust, hard to give myself to. They can be hard and still be full. She'd closed her eyes, and I thought, maybe, is she praying? I took the opportunity to look at my family, who are now giving me a, like, what is wrong with you? Look. Her eyes shot open, and she looked into mine. Eat that hard hope. Pass it around. She turned, and she was walking away, repeating, eat that hard hope. Pass it around.
Would you lend a helping hand to some poor sinner man? Are you walking in a dark? On your journey to the grave, are you walking in and talking for the Lord? Are you walking?
Are you walking?
Are you talking?
Are you talking?
Are you walking in and talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in His light every day? If your soul said testify, would the world hear your reply? Are you walking and a-talking for the Lord? Would you stop and shout His name or bow your head in shame? Are you walking and a-talking for the Lord? Are you walking?
Are you walking?
Are you talking?
Are you talking?
Are you walking and a-talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in His light every day? Traveling in His light every day.